Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Hold out. Maybe it'll hold out as long as you can hold out, maybe. We'll see how we do. I got a bone spur. I preached barefooted Sunday. And couldn't have went in Hardy's. It said no shirt, no shoes, no service. But God blessed me barefooted, so I'm thankful for that. And I want to read three verses in 2 Timothy chapter 4. A little thought. I'm concerned about the dropout at the house of God. And such indifference to holy things. We know more about the schedule of the world than we do of God. We're so concerned about the wrong things. I'm sick and tired of hearing about money, how high gold is. I'm tired of hearing about wondering how folks are going to make it. He set a table in the wilderness, didn't he? And he's not out of food. And he's still got some ravens. And there's still a barrel with some meal in it. Well, you just have to occupy till he comes. Brother Hyde, I might need a little water. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, I begin reading in verse 6. For I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Let's pray together. Our Father, I thank you for divine sovereign truth. And for the scriptures, I thank you for this place. In Christ's name, amen. I was looking around. I think it was in the 90s somewhere that I first came here. It was in a morning service. I remember that. And I'm thankful that some of you are still here. I appreciate that. Folks that are faithful, that help keep the doors open, encourage the man of God, keep the lights on that the gospel might go out. I understand that we're living in a generation of quitters. You see, I'm concerned that I finish right. I remind my wife often, we'll soon be in Auburn 34 years. I've got some I've been preaching to 34 years. Most of them won't remember much about how we came to town. But they will remember how we left. So I want to do right. I have that desire to die right. I'm concerned about the ministry and the quitters. I think some should have quit. I don't think they were ever called. But I would remind you that some who preached to me in the Holy Ghost now no longer preach. Those that told me how wicked I was, and I was, and am. But yet they no longer preach that as they once did. I guess they have been enlightened. I guess maybe they went down to Midas and got a muffler put on and they can no longer roar. They don't want to roar about sin. And if nobody preaches on sin, nobody will ever be saved. Because we're transgressors of the law of God. So I'm thankful for everybody that's ever preached to me in the Holy Ghost. I thought about this quitting. Brother Hyde, I tell them I came here in the 90s to a morning service the first time and seemed like so many dropped by the wayside and sad folks how they get messed up and shipwreck the faith. Causes others to stumble. See, if that devil can get the preacher, it's easier to get the rest. And so I thought about why I don't want to quit. Paul's down to the end of his journey. He's been teaching young Timothy. Had no man like-minded. He had listened. And now he's telling him, Timothy, they're not going to like it. They're not going to listen. They're not going to endure sound doctrine. You see, it's almost a thing of the past. Anybody, they say, we don't like doctrine. It's boring. That's just healthy. That'll make you healthy. If you don't have the right doctrine about salvation, you'll go to hell. So doctrine's pretty important. And I got in with Church Christ the other day, And so I told them, they said, what do you think? I said, all the Church of Christ are, is all they are is Catholics without a Pope. I don't apologize for that. I'm a Baptist. I'm just telling you, I don't apologize. You say, I got friends, Church of Christ. Well, I try to get them the gospel. Water doesn't save anybody, never has. In fact, Noah's day, everybody in water went to hell, and the crowd in the ark got to the house. Amen? So that's the difference. But I'm telling you tonight, I've thought about some things, and I don't want to quit. I've never liked quitters. I never liked it when I played ball. I just don't like to quit. I just want to keep plowing. I just want to keep going. I just have that desire to go on for the glory of God. But I want to remind you, first of all, that I don't want to quit because of my Father.
Amen.
I was dead in trespasses and sin. I was without God. I was without hope. I didn't care anything about the things of God. I hear folks say they're looking for God. I don't believe none of that. There's never been a sinner that looked for God till he's been sought. Till he's had Holy Ghost conviction that would bring him out and bring him to face himself as he really is, and that he might declare his bankruptcy before sovereign God and cry out for mercy and receive grace. Thank God for grace and mercy and truth. But I'll tell you, I wasn't looking for God. Wicked, ungodly, pagan, dead, defiled, dirty, you name it, I was in. But I want to thank Him that one night I entered in that little old Baptist church and under the preaching of the man of God, God convicted me of my sins. Let me see myself as I really was. I blamed everybody else but that night. I got in trouble with God. I've been in a long time, but I didn't know it. But that night, there's never been a night like that night that God brought conviction and brought me to the foot of the cross and let me see myself as He saw me. And I could cry out for mercy. I want to thank Him one more time that He turned the light on for me. I want to thank Him one more time that He opened up the door of grace. I want to thank Him one more time, this side, the other side, that nobody ever cared for me like Jesus. I just want to thank Him. And one old girl church, she sang, you asked me how I made it. I made it by grace. I said, hallelujah. Put my name on that too. Amen. I am what I am by the grace of God. One fellow told me, he said, preach on that grace too much, you'll get messed up. I said, I tell you what happens to you, love gets saved. Amen. That's exactly right. So my Father came to me. I want to thank Him for that little old church that brought me the gospel. I am a local church man. I tell you, I love the house of God. I'll soon be saved 41 years. I never have missed a service from being sick here. Hallelujah. I tell the folks at church, you got diarrhea, just sit in the back. You'll be closer to the John. You wouldn't be at home. I tell you, I like the house of God. I go an hour early. Now we're going an hour and 15 minutes early. I just like it. I like going out there and walking around. Every once in a while, I go on Sunday and preach before they get there. I just get to itching, brother Hyde, where I can't scratch. There's something inside there. It's just a riding up. Feels like an artesian well getting ready to flood my soul. And I just get up there and testify, thank Him, praise God. Ain't nobody there, me and the Holy Ghost. I just have a wonderful time. In fact, sometimes I have a better time before they get there than when they get there. Start getting them old long faces and looking at you kind of rough and moving around. I told them the other Sunday, I said, I thought some of y'all are getting a blessing and come to find out it's a stupid cell phone to vibrate.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, I ain't putting up that junk.
Go ahead, bro.
I don't know where we got the ideal that we are so important.
Amen.
I mean, I don't pray. We've been in prayer meetings and the phone rang. They quit. I said, I believe you're praying in the Holy Ghost. You won't quit. Amen. Amen. I know that's right. When my Father and that house of God and them people built that little old building up there, and I was a drunkard and a transgressor, wicked, ungodly, and pagan, and on my way to a devil's hell, and the grace of God passed by that Wednesday night. Oh, I want to thank Him. I want to die thanking Him. I don't want to be ungrateful. I just want to thank Him in open assembly, and I want to praise Him. I tell you, we've been starting to shout pretty bad around church, you know. And we live in a town up there, 69, and there ain't 69 people in town. I don't know where they are, but I'm telling you, a fella got up out there in church, he's testifying. He said, "Church, I'm sorry I'm messing up the choir and messing up the songs, but," he said, "I can't help it. I'm just getting blessed and shouting." One old boy stood up crying and said, "Sir, just keep messing them up. Just keep messing them up. I tell you, we need to come in here just one time determined that we'll have nothing on our mind but God Almighty and just worship Him, what He's done for us, what He is doing." I tell you, I was telling Brother Hyde, I'm thanking for that common grace. When I didn't even know Him and didn't even care about Him, He was letting me pray. Never charged me an air bill. Never sent me a bill for nothing. He was good to me when I didn't even care. Didn't even care about God. He still blessed me and He still helped me. And I want to thank Him. I want to thank Him. Thank God when I went to the church as a man of God. Well, thank God for preaching. I'm going to tell y'all, thank God for preaching. Bless the Lord. You see, though, you may not need a mechanic every day of your life, and you may not need a dentist, you may not need a doctor, you may not need a lot of things, but there'll never be a day in your life you don't need a man of God. You need that man of God in your life, and I'm going to tell you what He is, whether you like it, lump it, bump it, or jump it. He's the watchman on the wall. And He's the watch over your family. And in that Old Testament, if that priest said, looked at him and said, "It looked like leprosy." He did not say it was, but if it looked like it, they had to examine it. I wonder how many of y'all love old Brother Hyde. He was coming up to you and he said, "You know, I love you, but it looks like there might be some leprosy in your family. And maybe you ought to go home and be man enough, put the britches on and check it." Be pretty easy to get mad with. He said, "We'll go down the road down there where they have amusing grace rather than amazing. And we'll go down there where they have a ball game and have a gym and you flop your pants to gym and run around half naked, them bullfighting culottes and all that stuff." And say, "We really, I mean, they really love people down here and they're really helping us down here. And we'll just go down here." So you need a watchman on the wall. And that watchman on the wall is watching for your family. He's watching over your soul. I thank God for my Heavenly Father that put me in the family. Let me identify the Harmony Baptist Church. And that man of God watched over me. I mean, he told me, he said, I said, "What about that swimming, preacher?" And he said, "Well, you can't mix swim." I said, "What? Who wants to swim with me? If I'm doing that, let's go down to the creek." I said, I never have swim no more. Who won't go swim with a bunch of old hairy leg men? I ain't interested in that. I mean, I asked him about playing cards. Lord, he straightened me out on that. Wouldn't matter now, they're all on the internet playing. Oh, yeah, that's right. And then I asked him, you know, about going to the movies. I mean, I spent my whole life going in the office. He'd sit me down. But you know what he was doing? He was preparing me for down the road. I mean, I got me a new motorcycle and drove it to church. Made him mad. Cause he didn't like nothing, you know. And I pulled up her, man, I had that thing, boom, 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 boom. Factory in there, and he said, "What are you going to do with that?" I said, "Well, I'm going to go with it." He said, "Yeah, I heard that before." He said, "That's a mess, that's what it is." Woo! Now, I could have got mad at him. Went down the road, but it's profitable to stay. He's helping me. He's getting me ready for tonight, amen. But I didn't know that. I didn't know nothing about that providence of God looking down the road. And then one day I'd be in the saddle. And one day I could help somebody because my Heavenly Father put me in a place that I might get some help. So I'm thankful for my Father. You think about creation? It cost Him breath. But in Calvary it cost Him blood. That's how much He loved. Why wouldn't you want to love somebody that loves you that much and open his heart to set him that cometh unto me? I'll in no wise cast down. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, and I qualified because I was lost. I want to thank Him. I don't want to quit because of my failures. He's forgiven me. Isn't that something? I'm going to tell you something about the trials in life if you listen. There are trials in life that are hard. And there are bumps that are hard. And there are roads that we would not pick. We might have picked them and started out and thinking it was something, put it into a bath. What you need to learn to do from that is put it on the blood. What you need to do is pick the fruit from that trip that's profitable and bury the rest and go on. Just get on down the road. I mean, Peter got by the devil's fire. Talked some ways that he shouldn't. But God forgave him and used him. Could I ask you a question tonight? And I got to move. But I am feeling better. I wonder how many of us would be in here tonight if it was not the God of the second chance and the third chance and the fourth chance. I tell you, he's been good to us. It bothers me around church, these Pharisees. Now, I run a pretty tight ship. Now, I'll just be honest with you. But I'm going to tell you something. I've never looked down my nose at anybody and ever said I wouldn't do that. I got enough sense to know it's just the grace of God I wouldn't do it. I got enough sense to know. You see, it is possible to start right and finish wrong. But you cannot start wrong and finish right. You got to be, we're dealing with a bunch of folks. We've never had so many unredeemed people in church. They don't know nothing about God. They don't know nothing about the Scriptures. All they want to do is come have a good time. Have a little old Jesus pep rally. Sing a couple songs and have a good time and everybody go home feeling good. I'm going to tell you something. At Cornerstone Baptist Church for 34 years, they ain't went home feeling good too many Sundays. I mean, I don't go to the doctor when I feel good. I just leave him alone.
That's right.
If I go up there, he say, how you doing? I say, you're the doctor, you tell me. But I'm telling you, all them failures, and God loves us. And he cares. I've watched folks in church. I can look over there and see a fella saw got messed up in his home and all. Really had no choice. And I saw him for several years. It looked like the heart was in the willows. It looked like he would never smile again. He never missed church. He's a good man. And then one day he sent me a letter. And he said, I'm sorry for the kind of church member I've been. And if you'll forgive me and God will forgive me, I'm going to do better. See, church, that's what it's all about. When you see your brother fall, why you won't start texting?
Amen.
That's the stupidest mess I ever heard. We got a bunch of dumb morons who won't be able to even spell.
Amen.
Just a bunch of idiots. Your mothers and dads paying for the phone. Don't even know what it said. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with you. You slept on the side of the bed and the marbles rolled on the bed and you ain't got no sense footing the bills.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. You better believe that's right. Oh, yeah. Now, them kids are getting mad at you and all. I caught one texting in church and I scorched her pretty good and she got out of the choir. And my wife said, you're going to go talk to her. I said, no, she's out. She can come to church, but why you won't get in the choir if you're more concerned about texting? Just go in the bathroom, text, and leave us alone. Come on, help me now. Don't die on me. I'm talking about our failures. He gave us a space to repent. Even yea, Jezebel. Boy, I thank you. I praise him. Then I think about my family. You ever think about your family? That's a pretty touchy subject, isn't it? Now, I can preach about my family. I preach about Brother Hyde's family if I knew something about them. But you wouldn't want me to say much about your family.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of like a golden calf. You just leave it alone, you know. I tell you what I do with your calf. I grind it up and make you drink it. That's what you need to do. Get old with it. But what about my family? I have a son in Atlanta that's not saved. And my stepmother was 85 a couple of weeks ago. And I told my wife we were going to pay for bringing him in. We spent probably $400, $350. Getting him married, buying him some clothes. And I told her I'm doing all that for one reason. To preach to him one more time.
Amen.
If you wouldn't give $300 or $400 to preach, I wouldn't want to hear you.
Amen.
I never thought anybody buying me gas. I'd pay them let me.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
And he came sat on the front row up there. I saw tears in his eyes. But I'm going to tell you something. You can be stirred and not changed.
Yeah.
Oh, you can play. I can get him to play a certain song up here if you like. Man, you get your shirt wet just because. But I'm going to tell you, get in that preaching, you dry up a little bit. But my family. What do you think? He calls home, wants to talk to his mama. And she preached to him. Boy, that's the kind of preaching women I believe in. And she'd tell him how it is, buddy. And, but you know, if he was to come home and everything had changed, I wonder what that'd do to him.
Yeah, that's right.
I wonder if he was to come home, see one of them 46 inches in the living room. We ain't talking about pocket knife now. I wonder what he'd think happened to Daddy. Daddy told me that Hollywood's wicked. Now Daddy's getting 67, getting soft. Daddy ain't getting soft. Appreciate you coming. And Daddy ain't getting soft. I ain't getting that damnable thing in there. As far as I'm concerned, it's an abomination. I don't, that front door's for a reason. Keep some things out and people too. And some kin folks, I wouldn't even want in the house. Y'all let them come in, you know, and sit around fellowship. They whoremong, they shack up, they do everything. Y'all just sit around there and act like everything's all right. They won't never be convicted about nothing. Go to them old silly family reunions on the Lord's Day. I tell you what, I hope if you go them family, I hope you get diarrhea and ain't a John 10 mile. I don't like that stuff. I mean, they tried to get me to come. And I said, and my aunt said, well, we're having a quartet. I said, ain't much on them either. They ought to be in their local church where they belong on the Lord's Day. Well, after 40 years, my brother called me, and I was up there in Canada, Brother Messick, and he said, we're giving mother, his mother, myself, my 85th anniversary, and we want you to come. We're having on Saturday, first time. See, all I had to do was just give in and go. Just took me 40 years to get there. You go about 8, you say, well, we just have to go. You know, we won't get nothing for Christmas if we don't go. You know, and you know, they may cut us out of the wheel. Well, I've done been elected. I don't worry about the wheel. Amen. I ain't worried about it. I'm already in. Amen. I'm in. And if you run towards Calvary, you'll be in.
Amen.
My wife needs me to keep going.
Yes,
men need to be a leader of the family. I've never seen so many gutless men. Have you? I told mine one time, I said, I don't know if any of y'all got a backbone. But I tell you what I'd do. If you go to the merchant room, I'll pay for the x-ray. And if you wear them necklaces, you'll have lace on your drawers too. No backbone. Won't lead. And then some of these women, they don't want them leading. No. No, they say, well, my husband's the head. Yeah, but you the neck, and it's a crank in it.
Amen.
You don't want to follow.
Right.
You got a man who loves God and takes care of you. You sure ought to thank God for it, that He provides and helps and protects you and loves you, and let Him be the leader of that house.
Yeah.
Them kids will know who the leader is. I send you notes out here, and I say, who's head on your house? I say, well, they ain't in here, are they? Say, Mama. I guess the tired of hearing if Mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. I never sung that when I was drunk.
Yeah.
I ain't sang it now.
Right.
I don't even know the key to it, and you can have it.
Yeah.
I'm talking about being men. I'm talking about being leaders. I'm talking about loving your wife as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it.
Yeah.
I fixed my wife breakfast in bed, and some of them church make fun of me. I cook her breakfast in bed. Well, one thing about it, I get breakfast that way. I like to get up about 4:30. Yeah, and she likes to get up about 8:30. But when we had children, she took care of them. She paid her dues and said, like a disciple, sleep on. I take up her, eat. I asked her one time, she wants some eggs, and she had Easter eggs up there. They'd done marked them down. She said, I already had eggs. She was eating candy. But I tell them, the church is cheaper than divorce. And it won't hurt. It ain't gonna hurt.
Right.
I mean, I pay her to mow the yard. I have to mow it. That's dumb. See, she used to mow it. She said her back got hurt. And she's been on work with comp 4 years.
Yeah. Right.
About run out, but I'm still mowing it. Still paying her.
Yeah.
She's still taking it. Well, I'm soon be married for it. 9 years ain't bad, is it? No, that ain't bad. And we come out, I come out of a wicked mess, but my mama, you couldn't even count on that finger and that hand how many times she'd been married. Never knew where we was going to live. I was on Memphis streets at 9. I was over in Panama She married one fella, he's in service, and I busted a captain's boy in the mouth. He said, don't do that no more, I'll get busted. I'll be back down there, you know. And I'm sleeping on park benches at 17 in Los Angeles. Here I am in the house of God. Been on this journey over 40 years. And boy, I have a desire to take care of my family and love them.
Right.
About Lot. You ever think about Lot?
Yeah.
Now, I'd put him in hell if I'd been in charge.
Yes, sir.
But the book said he's in.
Right.
So he's in. All right, that's what it says. But I will tell you something. When Lot went, when it really got serious, he went down there and talked to them kids. Same as one that mocked.
That's what it says.
That's book.
Right.
Same as one that mocked. Didn't have no respect for him.
That's right.
I remember a fellow and I got saved, he'd get up and testify and carry on out in the aisle and then he wouldn't be back for a month.
Uh-huh.
I felt like tripping him.
Yeah.
Smell smoke all over the building. I worked fire department. I thought the building was on fire.
Yeah.
Be fishing 3 Sundays and come back. Won't testify. If I'd been a pastor, I'd told him to sit down and shut up, but I wasn't a pastor. I just didn't amen. Of course, none of them Northerners did.
Right.
What about your family? Are you concerned about finishing right in front of your family? They may not even like where you go to church. They might not even like your standard. But it's your house.
Amen.
My grandpa was lost right up to the end. And I saw him slap my uncle, out his boy, out of a chair when he's grown and married at the table. We had them cane bottom chairs. He kind of reared back a little bit, kind of off the color there. The grandpa, he never missed a bite. He just went, well, he went better. He kept eating. He was raised up in the drunk's home, but there's just some things you didn't do. We never had such a generation like that.
Right.
They're filling this world.
Yeah.
So I'm concerned about finishing right because of my friends. Now, I thank God for friends.
Now,
I'm going to tell you what's wrong with the universe today. They've got on that wicked, ungodly, pagan internet called Facebook.
Yeah. Amen.
And they think they have all these friends.
Yeah.
Then they'll even be good acquaintances. I asked him Sunday, who cares what dress you wore to town?
Right.
Who cares what time you combed your hair? Some of them look like they didn't comb it anyway. I accused some of them sticking their finger in a light socket and pulling it out. It's combed. I tell Brother Hyde, I made the whole bunch about mad the other night. They was talking about this dying hair, how these kids were so wicked, pink and green. I got them preached on there between them and you's a choice of colors. You dye yours blonde and gray, and they use pink and black. But on them choice colors, it's all dying. We got a bunch of women afraid to get old, ain't we? They just don't want to be old time grandmas. Put that dress on. They got to put them bullfighting breeches on and press around with arthritis and can't hardly walk. And they put them shorts on and their legs look like a bag of hickory nuts and their legs look like a road map with varicose veins. Who won't see all that? Just cover your hind end up. My wife said, you keep preaching that and I'm going to have all them. I said, you won't be displaying them.
Yeah.
My friend, I thank God for friends. I got some good friends at church. I really do. I got some good men. They like me, they ain't good as the other people, but they good men. If I call them 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm honest, they coming. Good men. And I thank God for them. Man, sometimes I have to line them out. I had one in there a few months ago, he's so tall, I was about to have to get on a step ladder to get up there in his face. He ain't never had nobody talk to him like that. But I took him in the Sunday school room, trimmed him.
Yeah.
He grabbed me like a bear and started weeping.
Amen.
He said, you're a friend.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, you know what a real friend is? He knows you and still loves you.
Amen. Yeah.
He knows every word on you and he still loves you.
Yeah.
Nobody's perfect. So if you're so far ahead, bring him up instead of running him down.
Amen.
Thank God for friends.
Yeah.
I appreciate preacher friends.
Yeah.
I'm not too long on the phone. I keep the conversation short. But I appreciate folks that pray for me. I thank God for that. I get in trouble a lot of times, you know, and they don't want you saying nothing.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, a lot of these fellas look like they got super glue on their lips.
Yeah.
Look like Joel Osteen. Oh, I call him Brother Teeth. He's on there just smiling. It ain't whole. It's whole Stanley's milk in America is what he's doing with a psychology rather than a gospel. And it's a damnable heresy out of hell. And if you swallow that bait, you'll go to hell, the whole crowd. I won't tell you, nobody's saved with psychology. And if you got folks, an insurance man, he's hooked on that. I went over and talked to him. And he said, you ever watch Joel? I said, I read the book of Joel.
Yeah.
I don't know nothing about Joel. And he said, you know what I'm talking about. And I said, I don't know it. I remember an old Benny Hinn, he's blowing on people and they fall. And the guy said, he liked it. I said, I'd hate for his breath to stink that bad and knock me out. I ain't fooling with it. I remember when I got saved, had Reverend Ike on there. The fellow wanted to give me this literature. He said, it's a blessing plan. I said, too late, I'm already in it. I've been saved a week, why do I need that? And, you can't lose the stuff I use. Everybody lost food with it. Now we got old Holstein up there. Something, smiling. And people, I want you to go home feeling good tonight. You may. It'll be up to you.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm talking about dying right. Paul's down there at the end of the road. We don't really hear much about him anymore. He's off the scene. Praise God, I went back there today and read again about that Damascus Road.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Boy, I like it just as well as the first time I ever heard it or read it. It just does something for me because I can identify with it. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Just one or two more and I quit. You know, if you don't have friends, you have to show yourself friendly.
Yeah.
There's a guy who goes to another church over there. I wouldn't go to it, but he has a right to go to it. You know? And I saw him out there digging a ditch, so I stopped. I said, can I help you dig that ditch? He said, well, preacher, you're crazy. I don't even go to your church. I said, I just want to help you dig a ditch. He said, you can't dig this ditch. I said, I want to. And you know what? That's been the cheapest advertisement. He told everybody in town. He said, you can't believe that dude. He stopped over and wanted to dig a ditch. I thought, well, said cheap. I got him a country ham at Christmas, took down there and put on his porch and left. He said, preacher, man, he's telling the whole church. They hate me out there. In fact, some of them live next door to him on the street. He's up there telling them I'm bringing him ham. Hey, that's the way to do it, ain't it? Hallelujah. Let's pour some cold water on him. Some of his kin folks had dissed and left the church. He never asked me about it. He probably knows more about it than I knew why they left. And what does it matter? They gone. I want to remind you one or two more. What about our foes, our enemies? I was reading over in Genesis 4:2-21 and said, we are very guilty concerning our brother. Joseph didn't say, let's put them all in hell they done me in. Now, I'm not going to cater to them. I'm going to mark them in a border. But I will tell you this much. If they want to return biblically, they can be forgiven.
That's right.
Yeah.
They're not going to work their way back in and try to take over.
Right.
And I'm going to mark them. Boy, I ain't even meeting with them.
Yeah.
I was preaching one church and he told me out. And told me to get out. And I went out and he come out there and opened the door. I'd had about enough. You know, my Christianity was getting thin.
Yeah.
And he said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. He said, I'm going to go ahead and let you eat before you leave. I said, no, I read the Bible. And told me who to eat with. You wasn't on the list.
Amen.
And there's some folks we'd help them. I mean, they get mad at the preacher and leave, but y'all all friends with them at Walmart.
Yep.
Well, that's amazing to me how you can be that two-faced.
Yes,
and then come in here, say, boy, we like Brother Hyde, but that same crowd tried to cut his throat. You down there at Walmart, buddy and buddy. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to push that buggy right on. They better keep their buggy out of the way.
Amen.
I don't want to be mean. But I'm moving. Hey, y'all wouldn't do that, would you? I felt a little bump right there, but I believe I'm in a good roll right there. That crowd, you say, well, how y'all doing? They're not doing good if they'd been in here.
Amen.
That Bible said they went out from us because it's not us.
Right.
I don't think everybody leaves is lost about 99.9, but why in the world would you leave a preaching station where the man of God puts something on the table and go where there ain't? I'm going to tell you, most times, first time, it's usually the kids and the wives. And the husband can't take no more. I'd just as soon sleep on the roof as in the house with that heifer.
Amen.
Really hit a bump in that one. Y'all wouldn't do that, would you? I don't know any many Baptists that won't. They say, guess who I saw up to Walmart? I said, I was blessed. I didn't see them. They ain't going to talk to me. I got fired one time at church. You wouldn't think it, but I did. And they see my wife won't know how. See, one time she said, I'm waiting on somebody to ask how the preacher's doing. So they're not going to bother her as much as she used to be, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so why don't somebody find out how the preacher is? She's pretty tough. I trained her. Yeah, that's right, ain't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you're down there and they may have, and they won't know how you're doing. You say, boy, praise God, Brother Hyatt's preaching. Man, we love that preaching. I tell you, we miss you, but we sure glad we didn't go with you. We like it. We're growing in grace, and God's a helping us and a blessing us. You'll never have Him lined up with it. Give you this and I'm done. You know, I was thinking about my future. I told you starting out, I'm just tired of hearing all this, how we're going to make it.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about Obama.
No.
I wasn't worried about Bush.
Right.
They're all a mess. They're small pieces in a big puzzle.
Right.
And right in the middle of that, God's taking care of us.
Amen.
That's right, isn't it? Yeah, it don't matter. Well, everybody said Reagan was something. Well, I guess he was. But you couldn't let him teach Sunday school to cuss like a drunk sailor.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever voted for anybody that was born again.
Right.
I used to say I vote for the lesser two evils. Now I just vote for two evils.
Yeah.
Don't y'all get quiet on me now. I'm not politicking, but I'm telling you my future. I'm going to tell you what. When I look back on them 41 years coming up in December, I could have not have drawn it out any better.
Amen.
It's been a journey of grace.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, I remember when the door was shut, and I could not get in. I didn't understand what was going on. I thought the whole crowd was crazy. And one Wednesday night, by the grace of God, man of God preached the light come in. And by faith, I walked in grace, granted me repentance. I got born the family of God. I haven't started occupying till it come. I remember used to play ball, give you them little old trophies, but they don't last. I'm going to tell you what the real trophies are. They're in these pews, trophies of grace that God has sovereignly worked on and is still working on and is still showing favor and mercy and is still blessing us and it's not done with us.
Amen.
One preacher, he's about to have a nervous breakdown. Worried about Social Security.
Yeah.
I'm talking about social insecurity.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, there was the government's job to take care of us. Whether it's food stamps or what.
Yeah.
We got some wouldn't take food stamps, but they'll put their farm in that set aside and get the government money. I told them they'd start as a food stamp crowd.
Right.
Now, how'd you like preaching in the farming community and preach that? That's what I do. But I believe that's right, ain't it?
Right.
I mean, if a man's going to bring a baby in the world, he ought to buy the milk, not wig.
Amen.
Right.
And if a girl should ever get some sense, quit looking for just a pair. I tell ours, if all you're looking for is a pair of pants, just go down to the dollar store and get you a pair and hang them on the bedpost and go to sleep and you won't have to worry at the brat. Because you'll have as much as a man if you drag in some dog and ain't nothing in the pants.
Right.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I got to think about how God took care of me, brother.
Yeah,
I didn't even know Him. Quit my job, went to Michigan, didn't know a soul but Mama there, and God bless me, one of the best paying jobs in town. Didn't even know Him. That's common grace.
Amen.
And it wasn't very long after that. I'm doing real good. And my wife, she's about to give up on me. And I don't blame her. She wasn't afraid of guns. She'd shot me. And she goes up to that little church. And she tells the preacher, well, whatever you do, don't come down to the house. He's crazy. And I'm going to tell you what, he didn't have to come to the house. God took me to His house.
Amen.
Made my way up there to the house of God. Woo, what a saint. And then after that, God saved me. Then He counted me faithful and put me in the ministry. That's getting better.
Amen.
And I'm working for the teachers, making all this money.
Yeah.
Holy Ghost said, just quit and take off.
Yeah.
You know what I did? Off I went in concrete, I went in the pulpit.
Yeah. Amen.
So now I leave teamsters and go down to Eastern Kentucky to college, put me in the third grade book, number the box of rocks. Done. And had all them preacher boys coming on Wednesday night because I was preaching in the Holy Ghost and they couldn't get the gears. But I was trying to help them get it.
Yeah.
And so they put me in that third grade book and I got me a job $37 a week. Then I went from teachers $37 a week. And now I'm doing real good, you know. And I'm working to 6 o'clock at night and the East Palm Baptist Church said they trying to find a preacher and they come over and I went over there and preached. See, I went to that preaching. They had all night preaching.
Yeah.
Now we have all night movies.
Yeah.
Call a prayer meeting, you can't even get by to have one.
That's right.
We'll have Tupperware parties and candle parties and Mary Kate parties and all that stuff, but they don't want no prayer meeting. We say, we'll get them all to come over here at prayer meeting. No, you'll get them to come over here and give them some chili and hot dogs and they'll eat and won't buy nothing. You'll be stuck. So here I am now, $37 a week. Doing good. Go over there and said, all night preaching. I saw it at the college. I said, where's that at? RJ. They told me and I went up in them mountains. Didn't know a soul. Mountain people don't like education. No way. You know? And I really don't like it. I don't think much of it. I haven't seen anybody modern education help.
That's right.
So I go over and sit down in that front row. Don't know a soul in that building. That preacher said, who got the message? I give him about 20 seconds. Nobody got up. I stood up and I said, I got her.
Yeah.
Didn't know a soul.
Yeah.
He said, you can have it. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah.
So I sat back down. He said, who wants to be second? Nobody said nothing. I stood up. I said, I can get that in two.
Yeah.
Just give me all of them. I like it.
Yeah.
Well, there were some women there. They went back and told that pole pit committee, they usually stink, you know, and said, you better get over and get that boy to Springs. Come over on Sunday morning. I went over and preached my way through school there. And I was making 37. They said he's going to give me 65. I said, glory to God. I'm going full time now. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Never missed a meal.
Yeah.
Took care of me.
Yeah.
Been good to me.
Yes,
that common grace.
Yeah.
And I'm not going down in voucher.
Amen.
I mean, I couldn't come too far. I've seen examples. I watched my grandma go out. I'm going to tell you the truth. Dying ain't hard. Living's what's hard.
Right. Yeah.
Dying's the easy part. It's living, it's hard. And God may heal you of everything until the last one. Finally, He'll say, that's it, come on to the house. Doc told me the other day, he said, got that bone spur. And he said, yeah, you know, don't look good. And he stuck that needle in my heel, bit that thing. And I've been testifying to him, see. And so I said, Doc, I'm going to tell you again about God. And you think, you know, I told him, he said, you're crazy. Talking to me like that, I got that needle on your heel. I said, Bender, however you want to, I can take it. But I'm going to tell you one more time about my Lord.
Amen.
And he went out that door. I said, sir, better number your days you're running out of them.
Right. Right.
My future looks good, brother.
Right.
I'm not, I don't like what I see. I understand my little grandchildren won't be able to pay the taxes. It's not anybody's personal fault. It's just a lot of bums for generations. They wanted something for nothing. And the bills come due. But I'm going to tell you something. It's been good to us. I got fired. You know I got fired. You wouldn't want me to preach with you. You probably understand more now why I got fired. And I went over to his house as slow as I could get, brother.
Yes, sir.
I probably could have went under that door. Never opened it.
Yeah.
But before daylight, there's something inside working.
Amen.
I believe it bottomed out.
Amen.
It's coming back up. Think, oh, low as I go, here I come.
Yeah.
Little storefront started preaching. We was praying for 2 acres. God gives 22.
Amen.
Sold acre of the day, paid for almost as much as paid for the whole place.
Amen.
Guy next door is in a bind. I told the church, I said, don't rob him. He's been a good neighbor. And we ain't putting him in the choir. We just helped him.
Yeah.
And what about that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Been good to us.
Yeah.
Been worth every mile.
Lord,
I could stand here like you and we could major on stuff. I mean, I could tell you about bullet holes in the car. I've had them. I've been shot at. You'd have to believe in surely goodness and mercy because they would have hit me.
Yeah.
Knife drawed on me in prayer meeting. Still here. Like it? No. But I love him. Some of your kinfolks just frown at you and you. Oh, man. Sickening. You know what? You know where some of you hung tonight? You can't get no food in your family.
That's right.
They got you.
Great.
You stand up in church and testify, but you ain't going to do that over at Walmart tomorrow. They got you. Your lips are sealed. I'm not telling you to go over and cuss them out and kick them in the shin and run a card over them. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm going to know them.
Amen.
No, I'm going to know them. And I'm not going to preach cream, little skim.
Right.
My son shacked up for a long time. I never went in the house one time. I ain't doing it.
Right.
He ain't bringing my ass either. She come one time. I took him over to church and I told her she's a whore. The reason she's a whore, he's a whore monger. Supply and demand is what runs the show.
Right.
Yeah. And she started crying. Said daddy wouldn't like it.
Amen. Amen.
He came out, son, sat on that front row.
Yeah.
Pretty tough.
Yeah.
Pretty tough.
Yes, sir.
You know what old man of God told me? He said it's pretty hard to unplumb what you plumb.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And folks all the time, you know, I saw this little thing a long time ago. They said, we just don't know what to do with them. If it only came with instructions, I said, they do.
Right.
Said, if it only came with instructions, the King James Bible.
Amen.
Yeah.
We're emptying our churches through messed up marriages. Young kids get out and mess up. Well, that's how we're emptying ours.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tell them, bring them, set them on the front row. I'll spit on them, kick them, hit them, and beg and endure a while. Maybe they're all right. You feel like quitting tonight or traveling on?
That's right.
I feel like running.
Yeah.
I had a good time. Don't know where my car keys are. I may have stayed y'all a month. That'd be 7 months. Y'all call somebody to get started, won't you? Yeah. All right. I think you're in the car. I was trying to find my throat spray, and I think I pitched the keys, thought I had them, and I ain't got nothing now. But we'll be all right.
Yeah.
She got keys.
Right.
Let's stand together. I'll turn over, Brother Hyde.